And we just give you a few samples so that when you read your Bible the next time, you don't have to read the Bible and say, "Aiya, Old Testament. What aiya, Old Testament? All these talks about the church." When you begin to see the relationship, then you see how it applies to our life today. In the book of Judges, chapter 3, when he had finished everything, in verse 17, he brought the tribute to Eglon, the king of Moab. And the famous thing about Eglon is he was very fat. In verse 17. When he had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people and had carried the tribute. But he himself turned back from the stone images that were at Gilgal and said, "I have a secret message for you, O king." He said, "Keep silence." And all who attended him went out from him. And Ehud came to him. Now he was sitting upstairs in his cool private chamber. And Ehud said, "I have a message from God for you." So he arose from his seat. Now here you see Ehud. I just go to some details on this story, but in others I'll go more generally so you could have an idea. Everything has a significance. Ehud has to face the king alone first. Later, he faced all the rest together. Notice, Ehud didn't go out with a whole army yet. He went straight for one man first. The man who represented all the oppression. The man who hated Moab, that represents the total oppression on Israel. He went after the key man. And he was alone face to face with the key man. And he went very near the key man. And he got the key man to get off his seat. All these are representation. See, to overcome deadness, you must apply the word. But the word must be applied against demonic forces. You must use the sword and your dagger skillfully. Even in the New Testament, if you read the Greek words for the word sword that is used in Hebrews 4:12, it is a word that means a dagger. Some people think that the word sword means that, you know, that long Japanese sword. Use two hands on. I'm sorry to say, it's that one that is like a dagger. You have to go a little bit nearer. Some you say, "Aiyah, I don't want to go so near the devil lah. Can't I go long, long sword, 10 feet long?" You need a 10 feet long sword, then you're not ready to fight him. See, it takes boldness to use a dagger, and it doesn't take much, you know, to use a long, long sword, you know. You can use the arm's length. Takes more boldness to use a dagger. You have to be nearer. And so he, in a way, he unseated the king first. The king rose up. See, he unseated the king. He began to apply the authority of the word. Remember this. Remember this. During the time when Christianity was persecuted in England, and they were burning people who translated the Bible at their stakes. You remember the cry of that one man who was being burned. He said, "Oh God, open the eyes of the king," for he died on the stake. You know what he did? He ended the persecution in that prayer. If you remember Christian history, it's quite interesting. How, when they translated the Bible, when me and Tyndale and all the rest of them translated the Bible, all of them had to die and pay their lives. Many fellows died. There were a lot of people who were persecuting. But the man behind the order was the king. When that martyr was dying on that stake, and he said, "God, open the eyes of the king," King of England, he shot right at the target. And when the king was touched, somehow, because of that prayer, he proclaimed later on, have the King James Version. That's how you got the King James Version. Now, all the other translations are good, you know, too. I'm just talking about the history. But from the time the King James Version was officially translated, do you notice that that was the time the persecution against Christianity died off in England? You never fight persecutors at the borders. You fight it at the headquarters. That is why when people do warfare, you don't want to bomb all over the place. You want to bomb right at the main place where the commander-in-chief is. Decapitate it. See, that was what Ehud did. He went right at the source. And my friends, apply this principle in your life. If you are persecuted, there is one source. Even though you may have 1,000 persecutors, there is only one source. That one source is usually a demonic power. Now, sometimes that demonic power may be using one human source or two. But there is only one source. You see, Satan has his spirits. He doesn't do all the work. And remember this. There are many different. This can be scaled down. Perhaps you are fighting with flesh and blood. You think that the problem in your office is caused by everybody, you're blaming everybody. No. You're fighting everybody that's wrong. You're not a wildcat. You're a sheep. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers, wicked rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual wickedness in high places. And he went right at the source. You don't fight with men, my friend. You fight with demon forces. There is usually one key demon. One key kepala. Kepala demon. Get after that guy. When you get him, you got the rest. That's why in some good books like Teach on Authority of the Believer, tells you that sometimes, now, don't blame every problem on demons, right? But there are certain areas where it's highly demonic. And a simple prayer suddenly cut off. I remember in the early days of ministry when we printed our own tracts in Penang. We printed a tract called Do You Know? Right? Do You Know About God and all these things? And it was a postcard size. They could place a stamp and send it back after it tear off. And we distribute thousands of it all over. And we got responses from people who were interested in God. And then we could reply and write to them. But then we began to receive a few funny ones. And they get more and more. And they ask about, do you know, ... do you know this? All the worldly things. Right back on the card, nasty thing coming back. No, we'd rather they just ignore it rather than send us back all those things. And it begins, some of them who were reading the postcards began to get irritated. All these things. And for many days they keep coming. And I say, hold it there. This is not human work. There are demon forces behind. We knelt down, we prayed, and we spoke like Ehud did. We use the sword of the Spirit. We say, you foul demon power that is behind all these things. Sometimes you know their name, sometimes you don't know. So you describe what they do. Who has been causing people to send all these nasty letters? In Jesus' name, we command you to cease and stop in all your many ways. Instantly, the next day, it stopped. It cannot be a coincidence, my friend. It just stopped. You remember the Wales revival, and the key figure who behind it was Evan Roberts. And I have a book called I Saw the Wales Revival by someone who was a close friend of Evan Roberts. And he talked about time when the persecution against him came. Evan Roberts. And he had a lot of people answering those letters. All kinds of nasty letters are coming. And even Robert just prayed. And then even Robert says, gave an instruction what to do. Immediately it stopped. And he learned from even Robert's that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Behind every persecution is not a man, my friend. It's a demon. No human being in their right mind will oppose Christianity, I mean wholesome Christianity, not the extreme cults that talks about love and goodness to people. No person in their right mind will want to go against a faith that teaches nothing but love to people. It was not just human beings who crucified Jesus. It was the diabolical mind of Satan that sought to destroy Jesus, who had done no wrong. The only crime they could ever charge him was that he healed the sick, and that he helped the poor, and he do good things. Think about that. Any normal human being in the right mind will not want to go against all those things. There's a diabolical demon behind it. That's what we are talking about. Now the book of Judges does look interesting, doesn't it? See, there are a lot of details. I'm just giving one example of the details to show you all the things that must do. After he has conquered that main guy, and you must know how well he used that sword. The Bible even describes it in great detail. He put that sword right into him, and it was so fat that the fat buried the sword. It's all described in the book of Judges chapter 3. See, he applied that sword, and after he had got the main guy, he went out and he mustered all the others, and they start going out. Hallelujah. Then he start organizing all the rest, and they all started coming. That's what we should do. My friends, before you ever go to any country to evangelize, you must fight demon forces. Only when you have conquered the principalities, powers, wicked rulers of darkness of this age, or the princes that rule in the spirit forces, then after you're conquering the spirit and taken authority, can you start organizing meetings? You have not, it's wasted time. You have too much natural opposition that comes through spiritual sources. So a lot of troubles people face if they only know the Ehud's method of overcoming deadness, persecution. The third judge, Deborah, chapter 4. Praise God. Deborah. The sad thing is in verse 1, when Ehud died, the children of Israel did evil again. So that's why Shamgar is classified together with Ehud, because it didn't mention after Shamgar died, it mentioned after Ehud died. In verse 1, Ehud was dead. The children of Israel again the evil. And then there's Deborah. Now remember what Deborah represents, the third church, and what the third church must do. It represents the corrupt church. The church that faces all kinds of corruption. Now let's look at some of this corruption they face in Revelation chapter 2.